Welcome to the Whole Business Podcast, where we focus on bringing whole life success to entrepreneurs and small business owners like you, providing conversations and strategies that align your business goals with personal well-being and financial success to help you thrive in every area of your life. Welcome to the Whole Business Podcast. My name is Steve Harris. I am a holistic business coach, serial entrepreneur, and the COO of Gorgeous Business Solutions, a small business solutions company dedicated to providing actionable solutions to modern day business challenges. We're all about bringing whole life success to entrepreneurs and business leaders like you, providing conversations and strategies that align your business goals with personal well-being and financial success to help you thrive in every area of life. Before we get into today's episode, which I am super excited about, we have another wonderful guest planned for you today. I've been chatting with these folks for a couple days and a couple weeks, and I'm just super excited to bring them on. But I, again, as always, want to thank you, our audience, for joining us, for liking our episodes, for sharing our episodes, for commenting on the episodes. Again, we have to continue to work diligently to push through the metric that's designed to kind of weed out which podcast, which information is serious, and which of those is just some hobbyist that's having fun, which is absolutely understandable. But we're trying to create a community of entrepreneurs, of business owners, of people truly who are just trying to find and create success in every area of their life. And in order to do so, in order to really bring just wonderful depths of knowledge, we want to be able to attract and bring on more and more speakers, influencers, people who have knowledge, people who have lived, people who have succeeded, people who have failed, so that we can all learn from one another. You know, it's like talking to a teenager these days, where you have so many people that think they know what they're doing, but really haven't had the experience, where we as parents, we as adults, get to speak from a place of understanding because we've been there. We have failed. We have grown, and so it's just super important that we are bringing on people who have accomplished that. So again, thank you. I want to introduce you to this wonderful couple. They run a website. I want you to go check them out, called Couples Inc. I will put a link in the show notes for them. We have Jody and Glenn. Jody encountered the storytelling bug at an early age. While she was in grade school, Jody wrote her first book as part of a young authors club activity. Her experience has followed that track with jobs at radio and TV stations, leading to a career in advertising and public relations. Jody's agency, Living Pink Communication, tells us client stories through a mix of four strategies: paid media, owned media, social media, and earned media. And we are super excited to really dive into the work that she does there, as well as the fact that they are working together. We know that there are struggles sometimes with working together as entrepreneurs. I know Angie and I get the question all the time, like, how do you guys work together? How do you guys spend literally every day together? It's a blessing for us, but hoping that we can dive into some strategies on that. Glenn's career spans 6 decades. As a child, Glenn got a reel-to-reel tape recorder. He began experimenting with sound and hasn't stopped since. Writing and producing award-winning copy for audiovisual applications, Glenn brings words to life and puts brands in consumer minds. Again, these are people that we get to learn from, that we get to grow from, and we are super excited to have them on the show. So without further ado, I want to bring on Jody and Glenn, and let's dive into working together as a couple, and then the vast experience that they have together as what they call couplepreneurs. All right. Without further ado, I am so excited to have Jody and Glenn on joining us. Jody and Glenn, I gave a brief introduction about who you are on paper. I gave your resume. So now tell me who you really are. Like, who are you guys as people? Who are you as a couple?
Wow.
First of all, we think alike.
Yeah, apparently.
Quite a bit.
Lots kind of very, you know, existential. Like, what does it mean to be us?
Yeah.
So you start with who you are, and then we'll...
Okay. Well, I'm a reformed audio engineer, spent several decades in that field. And just in the past 15 years, I guess, Jody and I have been working together with our business, Living Pink, which is a communications and advertising firm, and also with, just in the last 2 or 3 years, our podcast, Couples Inc. which brings couple power to couples who are also entrepreneurs.
And I'm Jody Spears, and I am, I guess, if we're talking about reformed, I was a marketing and PR person in a different life, but then decided to start my own firm. So I work for other agencies, but now we work for a variety of clients, and that happened, again, 14 years ago. And so we've been working together, not the entire 14 years. I think I started a few months ahead of time, and then he joined me. But yeah, this is who we are. We work together, we podcast together, and been married for 20 years, November 20th.
Yeah.
Ah, congratulations. That's coming up quick.
Yeah, nice. It is.
Yeah.
Love that. So two different things we can talk about, and then we'll get to some of the questions. Because a lot of our audience is entrepreneurs, is business leaders, give us your pitch. What's Living Pink Communications? We want everybody to know how to work with you.
We work to tell your story, and we do that across the four media channels, whether it's owned media, social media, paid media, or earned media. With owned media, that's we can help you with your website. We can help you with the materials you're handing out. We can help you with in-store signage. We have a couple of retail clients that we work with. For social media, that is what it is. We manage your social accounts. We create things that are posted. We also do advertising there. Paid, it can be on social or the traditional channels. We still occasionally do magazine ads. Because there are still people who, in our clients' audiences, who still get magazines and occasionally newspapers. And then earned is basically what you consider traditional PR. We try to get our clients out there telling their story, whether it's on a TV segment or in an article or in a blog. So we work across the whole spectrum, and we focus mainly on what it is that makes you different.
What she said.
What she said. I love it. I love it. Are 51, you seeing?
She's 51% ownership, and I have 49. So it's kind of, if it comes down to a meeting of the board, I pretty much know how it's going to go. And predictability is okay.
Yeah. He's also chief lifting officer, though, too. So you do have extra titles that I give you on occasion.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You know, you had mentioned print, newspaper, and magazines. Now, I tend to be a little old school. I still love a good newspaper in the morning with my coffee. There's just something about having smeared ink all over my fingers by the end of the morning. But are you seeing people still leveraging marketing through those mediums or select audiences?
Select audiences. It depends. A few years ago, we did work with our Arkansas AARP chapter or the organization. Clearly an older demographic, so we would do things in newspaper. The ink scenario isn't happening as often. Our major newspaper went entirely online, and they actually sent out iPads to people as part of their promotion to get them to subscribe. We're not seeing as much as that, but there are still opportunities in some magazines, some neighborhood magazines, some community and social magazines. And depending on who you work with, we'll find that we will leverage getting a print ad here, but then also they have an e-blast, so we'll get an ad campaign there. So we kind of try to do a good mix because we're really big on, I guess, surround sound marketing. Like there's not one tactic that is going to win.
Yeah. It's all part of a puzzle.
Yeah. Even if you ask people where they heard about you, we'll have people say, oh yeah, I saw them on a TV ad. We haven't run TV ads, but we've had them on a TV interview segment. Or for this client, they just remember seeing something. Then we're like, well, actually, we've done a variety of different things. So it all works together. So we try to look at whatever channels. And we are very hyper local whenever possible in terms of partnerships. We will look for organizations and community groups that will also extend our clients' brand. So we try to make sure it's not just one channel, but it's a variety.
Yeah. Love it. Yeah, one of my original business mentors, a chapter in his book, he called it omnipresence and making sure that people see us everywhere. And it's amazing when you do that, how a smaller company can actually seem bigger because people just understand where, oh, I see them. I see you everywhere.
Yeah.
So love that. Well, and part of the reason why I actually reached out to you guys, I love your business. I was honestly not aware of until we started talking of Living Pink Communications. But one of the things that is near and dear to my heart, because my partner Angie and I work together, live together, growing our lives together. So I'm excited about Couples Inc. because that's a whole nother level of conquering life, in my opinion. So tell us about your podcast.
Wow. We started, like I said, about 3 years mm-hmm. ago. And really, it was Jody's idea, as a lot of our business endeavors have been.
51%.
Yeah. You know, I've tried the dressing up as a, you know, in a suit with a clown suit with the symbols and everything. She nixed that pretty quick. And really what we wanted to do, we kind of saw that there was not a lot of information or resources about couples who also own a business or own businesses.
Yet there are so many of them.
Yeah, especially mm-hmm. since the Great Resignation, the pandemic, the events of the last 4 or 5 years have really pushed people into a different workspace, and mm-hmm. that is their own gig. A lot of them were in part-time, you know, side hustles before, and then circumstances changed at their main source of income, so they took the part-time into full-time. And we love that. I mean, my dad was a small businessman, and I've worked for small businesses my entire career and now into the modern time. But it's really, to us, it's something that, we're not experts by any means. We're not geniuses or anything. But if we can give at least a morsel over time to people who are kind of at a crossroads, maybe, mm-hmm. with their business or maybe a decision they need to make, then we've paid it forward. We've had great mentors through our lives. And it's one of those things that it kind of instills that desire to go ahead and not just for the money, but for the benefit of people that are going to follow you or that are your peers.
Yeah, with Couples Inc., our podcast, we've kind of got it set up in like a regular, I guess. We both come from radio backgrounds. So this is also a chance for us to flex our radio muscles, our voices and his talent for editing. We divide it into three segments, kind of like a show. One is us talking about a topic. It may be a topic that we think our listener needs. It may be a topic that we need. We're like, yeah, we need to talk about what does this mean for a small business owner. So we do it from the perspective of small business and couples in business. And then we bring in experts or other couples for an interview segment. And we learn how couples are making working together work for them. Or we've talked to marriage counselors, tax people, copyright lawyers, people who will help the small business owner or, again, use their example. And then our third segment is usually something fun. We do a quiz or game show type thing or some kind of just having fun, because we believe that if you're not having fun working with your spouse, then there is something wrong. Because if there's ever been someone that you should be able to get along with, have a shorthand humor with, really, you know, support each other and trust each other, it should be your spouse, which is, I guess, the bonus of being a business partner with your spouse. And that's why we wanted to make sure one of our segments was entirely just fun. We ask each other goofy questions or we'll do quizzes. It's just, we're like, you know, that's part of our life. You know, talk about things, learn things, laugh, you know?
Yeah.
Live, love, laugh. Have I just done
love
that?
Love it.
Live, love, laugh in our, in audio form.
perfect. Perfect. Well, I absolutely love that. I think, you brought some things forward that I hadn't even considered. And you're right that with what's changed over the last couple of years, we really have transitioned. And as Jody said, it is a blessing. It adds another layer of difficulty, can add another layer of difficulty. You can't just clock out and go home and stay away from that person. But man, the blessings, at least for us, the blessings have stacked way higher than any of the added struggle. How did you guys, it's been 15 years working together. You said, what caused you, what brought you to where, hey, you know what, let's do this together.
Well, this is actually kind of an interesting story. I actually was working for a nonprofit, and it was a restructuring and one of those cases where you had to interview for your job, and they made me an offer. And I was like, but something was just telling me, no, it was going to be a very different kind of job than what I loved, because I had worked with them for 5 years and loved every minute of it, but it was going to be a very different kind of job. And something in me was like, nope, not right. And I turned it down. And I called Glenn. I was like, I think I just quit my job. And he's like, okay.
I was driving at the time.
He's like, you
may have
mean?
Read
you
about
think.
It.
And I was like, I just turned it down. I was like, I couldn't bring myself to do this. And I think it's time. It's time for me to go ahead and start my own business. And at that time, it was going to be just my own business. And the name of the company is Living Pink. A little bit of background is I have metastatic breast cancer. Mm-hmm. So that's stage four. I've gone through four rounds of treatment. One was the initial, and then it spread to my bone. But then we took chemo, cleared up. Then it had another recurrence, chemo, cleared up. Another recurrence, chemo and radiation, cleared up. The last one was 2016. So knock on wood, we're all good. But I was like, I'm going to name this company Living Pink because that's how we're approaching it. We're not, you know, dying from. Again, I was first diagnosed in 2003, and my first recurrence that was stage four was 2009. So I'm really beating the statistics. And I was like, that's my story. That's our story. We can tell other people's story. So that's why Living Pink is called what it is. Mm. And I started the company, and then things started getting busy. And at the time, Glenn had an audio studio that was kind of seeing a transition. People were not buying as many radio ads.
Yeah, the traditional media model that studios that work in the commercial field for decades was starting to shift over to social. It was a huge profit center. No need for outsourcing your workload or your production or vendor. So it just kind of fell serendipitously into our laps. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's the most fun that I've ever had in my entire career, my working career. And that I get to work with my best friend and my wife is an added bonus.
And he's actually, at first he was kind of hesitant. He's like, well, you know, I don't do PR. I'm like, you're a great writer. You're a great storyteller. And you are great with people. And in fact, I try not to get insulted, but when we do schedule people on TV segments, people ask, will Glenn be there? Because he's such a calming presence, you know, before they're getting ready to do an interview. And I'm like, he'll be there. You know, I guess I'm not as, you know, but he has found a whole new set of skills that were there, but now he gets to tap into it.
And then, I love that.
It's been great.
I'm a firm believer in keeping your learning machine on your whole life, no matter what you're doing.
Absolutely.
This has enabled me to do that. So
yeah, so he is our content, or I say sometimes content director, because he will, again, tap into his ability to write, tell a story, concept with our art director, and do all those things. And then I work on the marketing and strategy side, and we just kind of worked really well together. And so it just worked. It worked out, again, serendipitous, that at the time that his business, which you had your recording studio for at that time, 8 years?
Yeah, about 8 or 9 years.
Yeah, eight or nine years. And it was kind of winding down, and I'm like, yeah. And then, of course, now we have the equipment and all the skill set that he had from that to do our podcast. But I'm like, come join me. And it's, like I said, we've been in business. It was 14 years this past October.
Wow. Well, congratulations on the business success, but more importantly, the life success.
Thank you.
I think I'm starting to like you guys more and more every word you utter. I love your story, and I love you guys.
It is interesting. Glenn proposed to me in June of 2003, and I was diagnosed in August of 2003. Mm. And it was an interesting time because one of the doctors said men will often leave. And it insulted Glenn to no end. And also, my dad was sitting beside him and saying, you better not. But I think he would have anyway. But he stayed
with
me. And
you shared off camera that your dad was in law enforcement, right?
He was in law enforcement, yeah. He passed away in 2022. But yeah, he was in law enforcement. And under his breath, I didn't hear this, but under his breath, he told Glenn, you better not think about it like that. Now he remembers. But no, he stayed with me, and it just built. I mean, it's been part of our life, and it's built our relationship is stronger because of it and our business.
Yeah. Wow. Man, you guys are amazing. Okay. So just to keep moving forward, we can park on all of these forever and ever and ever. We should just, you know what? We're flying out. We're going to come spend a weekend with you guys. So you're on your website, and I absolutely love this because I completely agree with it. On your website, you discuss the bringing couple power to your customers, and that we've discovered for ourselves that's one of our greatest strengths when we're meeting with customers if we're together. So what inspired you to leverage the couple power, and how are you seeing that as an added bonus for your customers when they get to work with both you versus one or the other.
That's totally his line. I'm like, I love that, the way you summed that up. So
yeah. I'm not sure exactly how I came up with that. It must have been my inner genius coming back awake after so many years of sleep or whatever. But really, I kind of liken it to, in our radio days, especially when I first started out a million years ago, if you were a station, you had to get your Federal Communications Commission license. And part of the stipulation of you gaining and keeping that license was to operate in the public convenience, interest, and necessity. And I was kind of tooling around before we started the podcast, and I thought, you know, that's a pretty good analogy for what couples really may be looking for. One of the components of that is, if you're already married, so it's a matter of convenience. The necessity is, maybe like we talked about a few minutes ago, your income situation, your revenue stream may have changed dramatically for both of you. And then the interest and the necessity, you know, part, the convenience, and I just lost my train of thought. That's the genius kicking in again and looking forward. I don't know.
Looking forward. No, I think what really, for both businesses, for our podcast and our business, being a couple, we go into meetings together and we have, again, a shorthand, a knowledge. Like, I can look and like, oh, he's got concept face, which means he's already jumped ahead to the concept. He's making some notes. That means I need to really up my detail game because he's kind of zoned out. But that's okay. It's for the greater good. And we kind of know what we're doing, and we play off each other so well that our clients and hopefully our podcast listeners benefit from that connection that we have in and how we work, because we inherently know each other's weaknesses, and we can be very honest with each other. As you mentioned, it can cause some frustrations. We might find that we're maybe less patient, and we might say things quicker than if it were just a neutral colleague, business partner. But at the same time, we also have that foundation that allows us to get past the, okay, maybe I was a little short about the deadline, missing, let's talk about it, and we have that communication. So our business runs very well together, and then our clients and listeners for the podcast, I think, benefit from that.
I'm going to steal that phrase, a shorthand knowledge. I like that, because we do, because we are couples, we can, you don't have that same insight no matter how long you've worked with a coworker.
Exactly.
But when you're spending every waking moment together, and I would assume, since, you know, you're a couple, that there's even an intimacy that allows you to get to know something further. We're big proponents of Brené Brown, as she talks about vulnerability. And so being able to be really vulnerable, you get to shorthand, you're right. The feelings of, half the time we know where the other person's mind is already going, you know,
exactly.
A word or a phrase or something will happen. You're like, oh, I know how you're approaching this. So.
Exactly. I think it's really helped. And like I said, we do have that, that shorthand and that understanding, and we can also sense where it's like, okay, something's up. Tell me what's going on. What's the vibe where you might ignore it for someone else? Because with a couple, you can't just, like you say, you can't leave. So if someone's not feeling really good about where the business is going or something that we're doing, we know, and we have to solve it, and we have to figure it out.
Yeah. So. That's really sharpened our problem solving capabilities, especially mine.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, just going back to that phrase, bringing couple power to your customers, it really is a secret power. And for our audience, I'm going to tell you, if you are a one-man shop, you're going without your partner with you, some of these couple businesses are going to beat you out, because we do get that secret sauce that others don't. So I'm not saying bring your spouse on board if it's not their cup of tea, but it is an absolute benefit. So I love that. Ready to elevate your business? Gorgeous Business Solutions is thrilled to announce our new online courses. In Business Foundations, you'll set or refresh the framework of your business, covering everything from legal structure and financial planning to your unique selling proposition. And in Business Builder, dive into brand identity, sales strategies, and powerful marketing techniques to stand out in today's market. Join a community of entrepreneurs taking the leap to success. Reserve your spot today and watch your business thrive with Gorgeous Business Solutions. Mm-hmm. So, speaking of the shorthand, how do your strengths and your weaknesses, how do they balance? Because I'm sure there are things that Glenn is more talented in, and there's things that Jody is more talented in. How do those balance out for you? How do you leverage that?
Well, it's interesting because that is one of the things that we talk about often in the podcast is selecting roles in your business. And we kind of sum it up. There are going to be, you know, tasks and things no one wants to do, but we sum it up with like the three T's when selecting your role. Do you have a talent for it? Do you have the time for it? And do you take joy in it? Because there are things that we do overlap in some aspects. For instance, I started out as a copywriter, but I don't have the time and I don't take as much joy in it as I once did. So that's Glenn's realm. Mm. I am more thrilled and excited about the marketing and strategy side. I've kind of evolved from where I started out in advertising copywriting, but then I'm like, I really like the strategy side better. And so this is where I have the time, the talent, and I take joy in it. Mm. And then with Glenn, I'm sure the same thing is there are things that he's like, well, I could probably do these things that Jody's doing, but I don't have the time or whatever. So we decide that that's where our roles are and that's how we complement each other. And we try not to overlap. Now, again, there are times because of workload where I might be like, okay, I can handle that working on that ad concept. But for the most part, we've kind of figured out our groove and how to complement each other. He really enjoys the idea concept part. I really enjoy the strategy part. He is better on site with media interviews. I am more likely to do client meetings. So we kind of find out what our jam is.
That's wonderful. I wonder how it would work. And we don't need to dive into this, but it just got my brain thinking, like, what happens if a couple is their talents and their passions or what they take joy in are completely aligned? And there's not, I mean, we kind of need the opposite on the other side of it, but I would be curious to see how that would play out. Have you talked to any couples?
For the most part, a lot of the couples we talk to, it's a case of where they don't align at all. And so it's perfect. Or they just figure out like us that, yeah, if they do align, then who really wants to take that on in terms of like the time that it takes to manage those things?
The chances are too that if you're a couple that's in business, you know somebody that has a skill or a talent that runs counter to what you two are doing. They swim against the stream, your stream. And if you can make them available and avail yourselves to them, you may be able to form a sort of a symbiotic relationship where they will give you input and you can give them input. There's so many opportunities in business. And that's one of the great things about it to me is that the new relationships that you form will be beneficial to both.
Yeah. Sometimes parties. You contract out. I mean, neither of us has a skill set when it comes to design. We know what looks good and Glenn can come up with a good concept, but we contract out with an art director to handle that. If you are someone who is not good on the, you know, finance side, then obviously you're going to consult with somebody to help you. You probably should anyway have a professional with that. But there are things that you kind of balance. It is interesting. I think I'm trying to think of most of the couples that we've talked to. They know what they want in terms of their role. They don't. Mm-hmm. They're not like two art directors who form a graphic design firm. They tend to be a marketer and a designer, or one person's a dentist, but the other person's more of a business person. You know, it's sort of like, I think that's how they even got into business. They realize that this is a good complement. Because not everybody wants to work with their spouse or maybe should. We do hear a lot of people like, I'd kill my spouse if I had, I'm like, why so violent? Why so violent? But not everybody, you know, should or wants to. But those that do are usually kind of the ones who are either doing it because it's good for their family. Like you might have one spouse who's not as interested in the business itself that's been created, but can complement it. Like say mm-hmm. one is a financial planner, but the other is the person who manages the office and advertising and other parts of it doesn't have a CPA. So you have that kind of, you know, complement too.
Yeah. Yeah. Glenda, I was thinking about when she was talking about, you know, working together and some things that you're not as necessarily talented that she can run with. I was thinking about the way that I do art design. I usually do it like a third grade crayon drawing. And then I hand it over to Angie, who is a phenomenal graphic artist. And so she can then take this third grade concept and turn it into something professional. So
yeah,
it's great. I know how to start it and I know where my limitations are.
That's part of your couple power.
That's
there you
it.
Go. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So the other thing, too, I just wanted to say before we move on about whole working with couples is a lot of times people talk about, well, how can you stand, you know, you can't leave it at the office. You're always talking about business, mm-hmm. things like that. And I often say, did you not talk about work with your spouse over dinner? Did you
Great
not?
Point.
But it was the case of you were talking about your place of work and he was talking about his place of work. Now we know the players. Again, that's shorthand.
Yeah.
So it's not a case of like when he worked at a radio station, I'm like, okay, who is that again? That's the promotions director who did that? Okay.
Right.
Or with me, he'd be like, okay, was that client, whatever. So we know you still talk about business when you don't work together. It's just this way you're talking about things that are exciting usually. And you could put it, you know, we try to make a rule of like, okay, if it's going to be something that's going to be really taxing or, you know, we'll set up a time. We're going to meet about it. But if it's over dinner, we might be like, oh, you know what we should do? Here's an idea, you know, which, and we have one of our clients as a restaurant and we cannot go into a restaurant without like, we should totally do that or recommend this, you know, whatever to the restaurant, but that's fun to us.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And it also takes the stress off the company Christmas parties.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. Yes.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. We
do you want to go, should we host a company Christmas party in Tahiti this year? Yeah, I think we should.
We need to look into
that. We do need to look at that because it's all written, you know, write it off like it's a retreat.
That's right. That's right. But, so we talked about how it works well together. And unfortunately in life, in relationships and in business, there's sometimes that there's disagreements and there's differing opinions. How do you resolve that together? Obviously, we learn now not at the dinner table on those ones, but how have you designed to resolve those differences when they do happen?
51-49.
That's right. You're a wise man, Glenn.
No, actually, we were just talking on yesterday's, we dropped a podcast, as we're recording this, we dropped it, and it was for November, and one of the things we wanted people to say no to is petty fights get to the real cause. We will sometimes get into a disagreement about, say, something that I put in a job that he didn't put in the ad. I'll say, I made a note to put in this, and it really isn't about him not doing that. It's about me not feeling heard. And that's a very big thing for me is to make sure I'm heard, that I'm not just wasting time writing in notes. And so we understand that. We talk about that. And I realize he didn't do it, you know, maliciously and just say, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm ignoring her. We had a whole stack of notes. He didn't see it. And then we cleared it up. The thing is often to look at what the disagreements really are about and then solve those, and then the smaller things will work themselves out.
And I think that's another element. We go back to couple power. You think of yourself in a traditional workplace, and there are so many disagreements that can pop up in so many different landmines that you really don't get to go into a depth like that with the person or with the department that's having trouble, whatever the issue is. Many times you have to bring in a third party, your supervisor or the board of directors or whatever. And this just streamlines that process. So it's an added benefit of working together as spouses.
Yeah, we disagree. Just like, you know, again, when you're married, you disagree with your spouse, or if you're working together, disagree. It's just the way we solve it is different than if you had just working with a colleague. And it's a lot easier to know that you've truly solved it and it's not a case of just lip service. Because you can just say, okay, sure, you're right. in another business setting. But when you're working together and you're married, it's not a case of like, well, I just will ignore that person from now on. We didn't get along on this project. So, okay, yeah, I'll tell them they were right and blah, blah.
We can't afford to put those kind of walls up.
Yeah, yeah. So you kind of you have to solve it. And hopefully you're solving it in a very positive way and not, you know, not in a negative way and saying things that you don't really want to say. And that you're just doing it like you would positive conflict resolution in a relationship. You're just doing it in a business. And, you know, we kind of extend that, again, couple power, that shorthand.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say that shorthand again, even if I said, oh, everything's fine, she can read me like a book, you know, that's, and so it doesn't allow you work versus a coworker in a traditional setting. You can typically shine them on and, you know, put on a happy face.
Well, and also you can respect and say, okay, you know what? He's not feeling this right now. I'm going to talk later. It's too raw.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
in another setting, you might not be like, you know, you may not be as considerate or caring.
Right. Or you may not have that timetable.
Or you may not have that timetable.
You're facing a deadline.
Right.
The conflict resolution kind of goes out the window in the interest of completion.
But for a couple, you're like, yeah, I'm going to give him some space. Or in his case, he might give me some space and say, okay, it's very raw right now. We'll come back and we'll come up with a solution. It just, you know, like you said, your wife can tell when you say it's fine and it's not fine and vice versa.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So we kind of need to start wrapping this up a little bit, but I have one really important question and then a couple that I ask everybody. Mm-hmm. You guys have, through Couples Inc., you've interviewed quite a few couples and from varying backgrounds and professions. And I absolutely love that. I haven't got through all the episodes. I will get through all of them because they're so rich with information and so,
well, thank you.
So applicable to our life. And I appreciate that. So thank you for doing that. What advice would you give if you had the top 3 to 5 things? What advice would you give couples who are either considering going to work together or mm-hmm. Or maybe you're just starting out or deciding, okay, we need to refresh this look into this. What advice would you give based on the many people you've talked with?
The first one, going back to roles, make sure it's clear that you, whatever role you, and again, that time, talent, take a joy in, make sure that's clear because that's where a lot of conflict comes up where it's like, well, no, that was my project to work on. Or some spouses say, for instance, it is them joining a business that's already kind of existing, or it's the other spouse's dream. They might feel like, well, what's my role? What am I doing? What am I supposed to do here? I don't have ownership. Develop your roles, figure out who's doing what, and make sure everybody's comfortable and revisit those. Don't just let, you know, like, okay, things have evolved and it's like, okay, because definitely our first few years, the more he was getting comfortable in the advertising marketing, the more we kind of revisited what those roles were. So that would be one of mine.
Mine, and I've said this in previous interviews, but it still holds true even as long as we've been married and as long as we've been working together. Prepare to be delighted by what your partner, your spouse, your significant other brings to your workplace, brings to your talent, brings to the joy that Josie was talking about just a few minutes ago. You know, we go to work and we almost live to work, especially in the United States. It's kind of baked in to our DNA. That's one of the things about it is great. We're the most productive nation on earth. You know, we go, go, go. If you are able and you have the blessing to go into business with your partner, you'll see things that you never thought were possible. And to me, that's one of the top things of being in business as a couple.
Yeah, you get to see your spouse in a whole different light. Yeah. And usually it's positive, although there was a funny meme that was going around during the pandemic. A wife was like, I can't believe my husband is the let's take this offline and circle back guy on a conference call. I can't believe he's using these words and I'm hearing him talk about these things.
Absolutely.
But you do get to find a different side to your loved one. And then the last one, if you're looking for three, is what we call the blend. We kind of talked a little bit about this, is people talk often about separation, boundaries, no work after, you know, no work talk after. It's a blend. It's like more of a watercolor than a, you know, like it's all going to mix and it's okay. It kind of reminds me mm-hmm. of what you guys talk about when it's the, you know, the whole part of your, the holistic part of it. It's all part of it. Mm-hmm. And so don't get hung up on, oh, we've got to have strict boundaries. We can't talk after five, or we can't do this, or we can't do that. You will find the rhythm. And you let it become more of a blend than trying to have these rigid things. Yeah, set boundaries, like I was saying before. No stressful talk, you know, at dinner. No talk about, you know, financial stuff or whatever. Let's set a meeting for that. Mm-hmm. But let it go and just, you know, let it flow. And sometimes in the middle of the workday, you're going to talk about personal stuff. It's okay.
Right.
I think people get hung up on that too much when they are trying to create their business with their spouse.
That's a great point. And I hope for our audience, because that is the premise of this whole podcast, is that we are looking for that success in every area mm-hmm. of life. Because at the end of the day, if I think too many people try and compartmentalize life too. This is business, this is personal, this is kids, this is finances, this is spiritual. And it all flows together. And that's one of the blessings of being in business together and being an entrepreneur in general. I mean, if you look at the main reason when I'm working with coaching clients and I'm drilling down on their big why, it may start with finances, but once we really start drilling down, what it comes down to is freedom to live your life on your terms, freedom to live your relationship on your terms, where if you decide in the middle of the day, you know what, we want to go out to lunch, or mm-hmm. we can hit a matinee and avoid the crowd at the new film or whatever, you know? And so, not separating that and blending that. Those are all great, great, great points. Okay. To wrap up, I always ask these two questions. And so I'm very interested to hear your takes. Mm-hmm. Number one, what does whole life success mean to you guys?
I think what you said, freedom. My health has caused us to have to fold into our lives a lot of medical appointments. A lot of, you know, going to the oncologist's office. Now I guess I had, you know, hip surgery. I've just had a lot of health issues. And if I had worked for someone else, I would not necessarily have the freedom to, you know, go to these things and take care of myself and then also come back. And so, yeah, my day might be physical therapy for my hip or going to get my blood work done, you know, regularly for my cancer. And then I come back and I work a little bit longer and I can intentionally plan my day and my life and our time together. And so having the holistic approach is intentionality. Like everything, there's not just a, oh, this is the time we work. This is the time we do this. This is the way to enhance our lives. We're going to travel and we're going to be able to work remotely because we can do things on the computer. And so, yeah, we may work a little bit more when we're on a trip, but we are on a trip. So it just feels like, again, intentionality is what I would say.
Yeah. There's also the aspect that, you know, my dad, I think I mentioned, was an entrepreneur. He owned several businesses. And that's the only example that I have growing up of him. And it put a deep desire in me that I didn't even know existed when I was a kid to emulate that. And now I'm doing that. It's like a dream come true. It's like the fulfillment of the child spirit, or whatever you want to call that, way back in the dinosaur age when I was growing up. But it's really so meaningful, and I'm so thankful for that.
Man, I love that. And as a personal side note, Jody, we will be as a family praying for your health and for you guys as a couple. Just it's a journey, and congratulations on the success so far in it.
Oh yeah, we're feeling really good. You know, we'll have scans. We get scans every 6 months. There's a little bit of scanxiety there, but for the most part, knock on wood, everything has been good since 2016. And if it's not, we'll tackle it again and
we'll deal with it.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah. Love it. Okay. Last question. Then we'll wrap here. I and so many of our audience are avid learners and readers. So what book or books have most impacted your lives?
I have two. Do you want me to go ahead and
give
mine?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll do a book report. This is an old book, but it's totally impacted me in terms of how I approach marketing. It's a book called Positioning, The Battle for Your Mind. It's by, is it Trout and Reese. It came out in like 1980, but the whole premise is you're not promoting the product, you're changing the mind. So what the positioning is like, what does your brain think of this brand? That's what you're impacting. So sometimes you have to fight a misunderstanding of what your brand is, or sometimes you have to give them the idea, but it really is about the brain and the consumer's mind, not about the gadgets, not about the products or features. It's about what the benefit is to the consumer. So you can talk all you want about a new car and how fast it goes, but the consumer's like, how cool am I going to look in this car? So you have to look at your marketing and strategy from the mind of the end consumer. So that's been something that it kind of revolutionized back in the, I guess, 70s, 80s when it came out, marketing. And I still think that, I mean, I've read books and, you know, since then that have been very impactful, but that was one that really stopped and like, oh yeah, that's what we're doing. We're not promoting a product. We're connecting with the consumer's mind. So I love that. And the second one's more of a personal one. Martha Beck, she's a columnist that was in Oprah magazine, and one of her books, Finding Your North Star, talked about how your body will let you know if you're making the right choice. And that's when I was quitting that job from the nonprofit, it was a feeling. My entire body was saying, no, no, don't take this. Don't take this. You are not going to be happy. And that's where I trusted, basically you're trusting your gut. And so it was a good book. Again, that's an older book, but I remember it having a impact on me because it made me like think, okay, I need to listen to this. Yes, it's risky, but my body is telling me I am not going to be happy unless I take the leap. So those are my two. Mm. What about you?
Love it.
Wow, that's a great question. I think, Steve, for me, one of the most influential times that I went through, when I first started working at the radio station where I was production director, I hadn't had any department managerial experience at all. But the guy that I worked for, the owner of the station, was very proactive in trying to train the managers and onboard them with as much education as he could. And he sent us to a Dale Carnegie leadership course. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard of those or if there's ever been an occasion for you to take one. But it wasn't so much a book as it was the experience. Again, the learning and the love of learning came into play. The ideas that they presented and the way to think about how you deal with people and how you manage your department, manage your projects, were invaluable to me. I still put those principles to use probably every day. It's almost a reflex without really thinking about it. So that wasn't so much, I think we had a workbook of some sort in that course, and I've read, you know, since then I've read his How to Win Friends and Influence People. Certainly that's a good one. The other may be kind of different, but it's Sun Tzu, The Art of War. And, you know, on the surface, you think, well, why are you reading that if you're going to go into business with your partner? And that's counterintuitive. It's more like the mindset that you have going into the marketplace and how to best position, because that's what Sun Tzu was really, that's a lot of what he was about, was positioning. It wasn't so much the mechanics of fighting your enemy or of trying to struggle to achieve a goal. It was the prep and the way that you look at that particular project or the task that's ahead of you.
Yeah. Doesn't he talk about first fight the battle in your mind?
Absolutely.
Yeah. In that book? Yeah. As an aside, that Dale Carnegie program, almost every successful mentor that I have had has mentioned that as back in the day, playing the tapes, getting ready, you know, that has been a pivotal course and I think the application of it is still coming out in books written today and workshops, you know, it's fun to look back and you can see certain things throughout history. I love the history, especially of business. You can see how there's so many things that are just, they're being reworked, reworded, but it's the same tried and true
concept,
principles that keep coming out.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. Well, you two have been an absolute pleasure. I was excited to look forward to this time as we've been emailing and connecting and setting dates. And I could not have imagined it being even this amazing. You folks inspire me. You've given me so much to work on. This will be one of those podcast episodes that I'm going to go back to and listen to over and over and over again, because there's so much. Now I want to go back and write everything down. I started to write a few notes and I went, okay, this is your podcast. You can listen to it anytime you want. So I'll go back and review. So thank you so much for sharing your knowledge.
This has been great.
A pleasure.
This has been an absolute pleasure. So just wrapping up, guys, go listen to their Couples Inc. podcast. Actually, Angie and I get to be a guest on it as well. So we're excited for that. There's a lot of overlap, or some overlap, in what we do in our businesses. But there's some areas that you folks are working in that we are not. And so I absolutely want to connect with you on the business level as well and see how we can't funnel some business your guys' direction, because I'm inspired by who you are as people. And oh, yeah, you happen to run a wonderful business as well.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
Thanks for coming on the show today, guys. We will be in touch. Holy cow, was that not an absolutely amazing episode? I absolutely, genuinely enjoy these two people. Jody and Glenn have been people that I didn't know before, but now that we've connected with and spent some time together, I'm really excited to get to watch their journey, get to help build entrepreneur success together. Even if you are not in business with your partner, even if you are not thinking about doing that, there is still so much value in this episode that I want you to make sure that you really dive in on. If you are just listening to this on Spotify or Apple, take a minute and jump over to our YouTube and just watch them. You can see the love for one another, the respect for each other, but you can also see their genuine heart to help people succeed in life. It's really worth the watch. Thank you again for joining us on this journey, helping build this tribe. Again, the best way that you can help, if you are enjoying this show, that you can help us to grow and to thrive and to keep building and bringing on new guests, is to interact with the show. Like, subscribe, share, comment. Anything you can do to interact with us just helps to grow our audience, and also then helps us to grow our reach of how we can continue to bring opportunities for you. If you have topics that you'd like us to dig in on, if you've got things you'd like us to discuss, maybe guests that you'd like us to reach out to or that you can connect us with, email me directly, Steve@gorgeousbusinesssolutions.com, Steve@gorgeousbusinesssolutions.com, and tell me, hey, love the show, hate the show, whatever you want to say, but hey, can we discuss this, or what do you think about this, or this is your tribe, this is your community that we're growing, so let's build this thing up together, because we're going to uncover secrets to creating a harmonious life where business, family, health, faith are all flourishing in unison, so that we can ultimately realize that level of success that I believe we are all wanting to, but maybe don't know how to do it. So we can learn from each other, grow from each other, inspire one another. Thank you again for joining me, and I'll see you on next week's show.